I'll give presentations. I'll have a, I'll be invited somewhere, and I'll be speaking to an auditorium full of people, and I'll say, please raise your hand if you're a good patriotic American. Well, not surprisingly, everybody in the audience, everybody raises their hand. Everybody's a patriotic American. And I go, welcome to the, you know, program. I'm glad that everybody is so patriotic. I said, please raise your hand if you can tell me how many articles are in the Constitution. Nobody raises their hand. There's usually one guy in the back, somebody that's read my book, somebody that's taken my Constitution class. But, you know, for the most part, nobody knows who, how many articles are in the Constitution. And it's like, well, what's the standard? What does it take to become a good patriotic American? You were able to dress yourself this morning? You know, you were able to eat breakfast without mama feeding you? I mean, what's the standard? You know, you're breathing and you have a pulse? Is that the standard? Well, then hell, everybody can be a good patriotic American. You know, I don't like that standard. That's not enough. You know, I want people who understand life, liberty, and property. If you don't understand life, liberty, and property, how can you defend it? How can you be free if you don't even know what it means to be free? How can you prevent government corruption if you don't know what is corruption? You've got to educate yourself. You have to read the Constitution. And first of all, I mean, if you're really interested in liberty, you're going to have to take action. If you just want to complain about how bad things are, well, then turn off the radio. You don't need me. You can sit and complain all you want, and nothing's going to happen except that it's going to get worse. You know, if you like to complain, then don't try to solve the problem. But if you are genuinely interested in liberty, if you are generally interested in freedom, if you would like to create some wealth to leave for your children and grandchildren, if you'd like to have a retirement better than, you know, struggling on Social Security, well, guess what? Nobody's going to hand that to you on a silver platter. You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to study. And my recommendation is to memorize the Bill of Rights. I mean, how can you defend your rights if you don't even know what they are? Memorize the Bill of Rights. Do not memorize the Constitution. That's like memorizing a dictionary because maybe you're going to need one of those words. That's a waste of your time. Mm-hmm. The Constitution is organized into articles, sections, and clauses. You know, when you're looking up a word, you don't start at the first page of the dictionary and page all the way through. You know, if you're looking for a word that starts with T, you know, it's towards the back. You know, because the letters, the words are alphabetized. You know, if you're looking for something about Congress, that's Article 1. Anything about the President and Vice President, that's Article 2. You know, if you want to know about the Supreme Court, that's Article 3. It's all organized. There's no reason to look someplace else. So,
you want your rights to go to the back of the book.
Right. So you may have to understand this stuff. You know, a lot of people say, you know, we don't know what the Founding Fathers were thinking. Well, if you don't know, if you tell me that I don't know what the Founding Fathers were thinking, either you are stupid or you think I'm stupid. Have you ever heard of the Federalist Papers? I mean, the Constitution was not a done deal. You know, people were not dancing in the streets going, oh, goody, we have a Constitution. There was debate. There was argument. They were, you know, they weren't sure they wanted a Constitution. Now, let's look this thing over. And, you know, this has got a lot of flaws. And so Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison basically wrote newspaper editorials, you know, and they said, this is what we were thinking. This is what we were trying to accomplish. This is why we wrote these particular words. You know, this is what we were thinking. Read the Federalist Papers. And then, as soon as you put that book down, pick up another book called The Anti-Federalist Papers. You know, you want to get both sides of the story. You know, I've heard a joke the other day that, you know, Fox News gives you both sides of every issue, the president's side and the vice president's side. You know, and that's not both sides of the issue. I mean, you've got to educate yourself. Don't just take it for granted because, you know, one of your politicians gets up in front of a microphone and says, you know, this is the way you should do it. You know, they're treating you like a child. And if you allow somebody else to make your decisions for you, then you are acting like a child. And then if you're acting like a child, stop complaining. Stop throwing a tantrum because I know better than you and I'm telling you what you're going to do. Stop crying. Well, if you want to grow up, if you want to make your own decisions, well, now you have to be responsible. It's your job to put food in your mouth. It's your job to put shelter over your head. It's your job to save money for your retirement. And it's your job to make sure the government doesn't start to do anything which is unconstitutional. That's your job description. And most of you are failing miserably at your job. You haven't read the Constitution. You haven't memorized the Bill of Rights. Your government is, most of what your government is doing is unconstitutional, and it's your fault. So if you're going to sit on the couch and complain, you know, I don't care, because it's your fault. If you don't want to be part of the solution, then you are part of the problem. The only thing necessary for evil to succeed is for good men and women to sit around on their backside and do nothing. So, I refuse to do nothing. I refuse to allow my corrupt government to get away with unconstitutional actions. That's called treason. That is treason. That's my constitution they are violating. That's my Bill of Rights that they are violating. And I am not going to let them get away with it. I don't know how I'm going to finish the job, but before I die, I am going to restore a constitutional republic. I am going to restore liberty, and many of the people currently in Washington, D.C. are going to jail. They are going to jail for life, for treason. I gave a speech in front of the Texas State Capitol many years ago. It was a pro-Second Amendment speech. Mm-hmm. And I was all excited, and I went to the Capitol, and the Democratic candidate said, well, we only want to pass rational gun laws. And then the Republican candidate says, well, we don't want to pass gun laws too quickly. We want to take our time and do it slowly. Well, I got up to the microphone and I said, 23,000 gun laws in the United States are unconstitutional. I said, I will not give up my guns to any state or federal agent, period. And the police officers there turned around. They're staring at me. They can't believe, you know, they can't believe that I said that in front of a microphone. Well, my mother was all excited. Her boy was talking in front of the Capitol building in Austin. You know, he's becoming a young politician. She was all excited. So she called me on the phone, and she wanted to know what I said. When I told her, she goes, oh, Michael, you didn't say that out loud. I said, yeah, Mom, there were about 1,200 people there. She goes, oh, my God. She says, the government is going to come and pick you up. I said, are you afraid for my safety because you think the government is benevolent? We have a good, warm, fuzzy government. That's why you're afraid for my safety? No, you're afraid for my safety because you know the government is evil. You know the government is dangerous. I mean, you're justified in being afraid because the government could come and kill me. Is that a good government? No, the government is bad. Most of what the government does is unconstitutional. So what's the solution to the problem? We just sit around on the couch for 5-10 years and we just wait for all the bad politicians to vote themselves out of a job? They'll reduce our taxes and then go home and retire? No, they're going to continue to get worse. They're going to continue to raise our taxes. They're going to continue to make unconstitutional laws until somebody stands up and stops them. Because who's going to stand up and fix the government? Who's going to stop them from doing all of these unconstitutional things? When I was a boy, I was a Boy Scout for 12 years. When I was growing up, who taught me that I should always do the right thing? Always do the right thing, no matter how difficult that is. Who taught me that? Mom? That was you. You and Dad taught me that I should always do the right thing, no matter what. Don't just, you know, if your friends jump off a cliff, are you going to jump off the cliff with them just because your friends are doing it? No. You're supposed to use your head. You're supposed to be smarter than they are. You're always supposed to do the right thing. I said, what's the right thing? Do you want me to sit on the couch and watch TV while my country is taken over by corrupt politicians? I can't do that. I won't do that. That's not the right thing. The right thing is to stand up and fix it. The right thing to do is to stand up and make sure that they never do anything else unconstitutional. Well, how are you going to know what is or is not constitutional? Well, I'm guessing you probably have to read the Constitution somewhere along the line. So my job is to make your job easier. My website is constitutionpreservation.org. That's what I'm all about. That's what my life is dedicated to, is preserving the Constitution and the ideals in the Constitution. So go to constitutionpreservation.org. On the front page, you can download Chapter 2 of my book, which is Rights versus Privileges. If you understand that chapter, almost all of this stuff is going to suddenly start making sense. You can purchase my book, which is called Good to be King, because we have 300 million kings and queens in the United States. We are sovereign. We're in charge. We are the source of all political power in the United States. That's a lot of power. But you and I and 299 million of our friends are going to have to start acting like it. We're going to have to start acting like kings and queens instead of, you know, crybaby, please, you know, government, don't hurt me. Please, government, give me a driver's license. Please, government, you know, don't take too much of my taxes. And if you want to be the king and queen, you got to stop acting like a crybaby slave. You can attend one of my Constitution classes. I teach my class just about every weekend somewhere in the country. You can find out where I'm going to teach my class by looking at my calendar or the class registration page. If you would like me to bring my Constitution class to your town, there's an option to fill in the blank. You know, you can request your city. Give me your name, phone number, and email address and say, I would like, you know, Michael's class in, you know, Bangor, Maine. Once I get, you know, 30 or 40 people all from the same location, you're going to get an email from me going, okay, what weekend works for you? So, you know, the sooner you have more people, you know, who want the class, that's where I'm going to go. I literally pick the city at the top of the list, and that's the next place I put on my calendar. So it's, you know, kind of a contest of sorts. You know, if you want to bring me to your town, you know, as quickly as possible, talk to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, and, you know, explain that, you know, the problems, we've got to learn how to solve those problems. And I can teach you how to do that in 1 8-hour day. I can turn you from confused to, well, one of the new founding fathers. You know, the founding fathers were not extraordinary men. They were ordinary men doing extraordinary things. You know, you don't need a college degree. You don't need to be a professor at a college. The only thing that you need is a love of life, liberty, and property. All you have to do is have a burning desire to make the United States better than it is. You got to have the willingness to work for it. And, you know, if you're willing to work for it, I'm willing to make your job a whole lot easier. I can reduce the number of steps. You don't have to go out and do 28 years of research. I've already done 28 years of research. You know, I can give you the Reader's Digest version, you know, and my Constitution class is very much like political penicillin. After you take my class, you will never, ever be infected with socialist or communist ideas ever again. And while I should give you kind of the warning label, my class is disturbing. You know, you may think that, well, you know, the economy is kind of bad and, you know, a little bit uncomfortable right now. After you take my class, you're going to be seriously disturbed. You're going to realize on your own that most of what our government does is unconstitutional. It's like taking off the blindfold and realizing that, you know, your house is on fire, the building has fallen down, you know, your children and your pets are in danger, and it's like, oh my God, You know, yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but you can't solve a problem if you don't know that the problem exists. So this is the first step. And, you know, it is disturbing. And I've had students, you know, we stopped for a coffee break. I've had students crying in class because they didn't realize just how bad it was. It is a shock to the system. But the good news is that the blinders are off. Nobody can lie to you ever again because you understand what has to happen. And, you know, then it's just a matter of how fast do you want it? How fast do you want to restore liberty? Do you want to restore liberty for your great-great-grandchildren? Or you want to do it sooner and maybe have your grandchildren? I don't know. How about restoring liberty right away, right now? So that, well, you know, if we do this, you know, in the next year or two, then you and I can enjoy liberty. We can start to experience what freedom is really like. You know, I look forward to the day that I can sit on a beach someplace and drink a piña colada and go, wow, that was close. We almost had communism in the United States, but we saved it. You know, the founding fathers would be proud of us, because if we don't, if we lose liberty here in the United States, the entire world will become a slave population. There will be no more liberty ever again on the planet. And, you know, if we, you know, come face to face with the founding fathers one day, how are you going to look them in the eye? How are you going to look them in the eye knowing that they dedicated their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor for life, liberty, and property? Your life, your liberty, your property. They sacrificed their life, and you sat on the couch watching TV and let it slip through your fingers. That's not a conversation I ever want to have. You know, I want to, you know, thank you for, you know, giving me a little bit of time to, you know, talk to your audience. We are in serious trouble, but we can fix it. It's not an unsolvable problem. But, you know, you can't solve it by waiting for somebody else to do the work. And so either, you know, you're willing to sit on the couch and be a slave, or you're willing to roll up your sleeves and do the work and become free. If not for you, do it for your children. Do it for your grandchildren. Do it for future generations. Whatever your reason, just do it.
Thank you very much. This is Michelle Anderson signing off, and I hope you'll be with us when we have our next interview and talk to somebody who's interested in the things that interest us north of Bangor.